We now turn to page 259 of the agenda, the annual report, and I point out that staff have brought to our attention that on page 309 there should be a slight correction, and so that may affect the motion, perhaps. What's the best way to do it, Ms. Jarrett? Do we simply amend our copies and then call that the annual report, or do we make a reference to it in the recommendations? You could explain the correction.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, through the Chair. On page 309, the amounts in relation to the executive or the salary packages for the four senior executives are based on the current senior executives with the current CEO, not based on the former CEO who was CEO during the 14-15 financial year. So the figure or the range there needs to be amended from 197,500 to 308,828 as being the figure there. The resolution in terms of adopting the annual report for the financial year as contained in Appendix 1, subject to the inclusion of the amendment identified for that figure.
Thank you. So is the motion in order as it is? Yeah, okay, thank you. Just on that point, point of interest, that the advertiser published a useful survey of Chief Executive Officer salaries, you might have noticed, and Playford, Mal Hemmeling at Playford, I presume it's a package in excess of $350,000, so we're getting good value at Marion. I'm glad Mr. Skull's not here to hear that. Very well. I just have one other question before we go to the motion. Page 260, the format of the report, it is referred to as a plain document with a stylised front cover. Now, I have raised this point informally, but I do want to raise it publicly. I presume that the cover will have a graph of the 2.9% rate rise with the previous 9 years shown in the graph. Perhaps staff could help me with that. Is it? Page 264. Yes, but what I'm suggesting is that the stylized cover will have that graph on it. Thank you for your full cooperation. It's not, I don't ask out of the, you know, out of the petty vanity of members, including myself, but rather that's what the community wants to know, and I'm sure they'd appreciate it in a simple and pictorial format.
That would be even more enriched if we actually had 2016-17 and a prediction in there as well. That would actually really capture the imagination of our burghers of the city of Marion.
Order. Three quarters of an hour to go, members, and only 250 pages left. Who's moving that motion? Moved, Councillor Byram. Did you wish to speak to that? Seconded, Councillor Telfer. Thank you. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Telfer? Any other speakers or questions? Very well. Councillor Garrett?
Watson, Your Worship, just on the naming of the golf course, it was referred to in the report as the Marino Golf Course, but it's actually known as the Marion Golf Park, and it's actually in Secret Park, so he may have picked up on that or changed it already.
Thank you. what do they say, E and OE?
I believe the locals refer to as Royal Marion, Your Honour.
Well, at the moment, yes.
Is there a graph...
Order. Yes, Councillor Hull?
Is there a graph relating to legal costs? Because I seem to think that the lack of punitive action against elected members may have actually...
Councillor Hull? Councillor Hull, or I think the question's out of order. I don't know why, but I suspect it is. And I can assure you that once we have a graph that's trending heavily downwards, we'll give consideration to publishing it. Any other questions or comments? Very well. I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. On page, we now jump actually to page 326 of the report. It's like a game of snakes and ladders. We've just gone up a very big ladder to page 326. And we're dealing with landlord's approval to replace the flooring at the active Elders Hall. Councillor Kerry moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer, please proceed, Councillor Kerry.
Look, Active Elders is a very... it's an organisation that caters for retired people. They're very active. Unfortunately, they've got their facilities are very old. They've got a 40-year-old kitchen. And, look, to be frank with you, if we can help them along, help them replace some of the flooring, I think it'd be in order. It's not particularly all that expensive. And I think they're an excellent community group that provides service for retired people.
We're just giving our consent for them to spend their money.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm not expecting a long debate on this one. Councillor Pfeiffer? Put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. And I think Councillor Kerry was very persuasive on that one. Sorry, I shouldn't offer opinions like that. We've dealt with... we're on to the SA Water acquisition. I'm informed that we have two people to welcome. I was wondering... So we don't often get members of the public straying in. The beer stopped long ago. And I welcome Nicole Walsh and Simon Hangshaw. Borgshaw. Sorry, I only have it in handwriting. So, welcome. Now, this is not a deputation. What happened, members, is that a deputation, and this is meant to go on the record, actually. Oh, I already mentioned it, didn't I? That... deputation was requested, but they've simply made themselves available for questions. So at this stage, I'll ask someone to move. Councillor Crossman.
Can I move an amendment to the original?
You can move it with
please.
The amendment, please. Yes. Have you provided an amendment in writing to everyone or anyone? All right, so that's just being put up on the screen now. And I'd invite my friends from SA Water to note this carefully. But perhaps you can just... why don't you proceed to speak, Councillor Crossland, and in particular explain the new course by.
Okay, I'll take it that the report has been read. Amendment is just to take into account public concerns and ongoing issues with current utilities at those locations, in that they seem to be regularly vandalised, particularly with graffiti, and are quite unsightly. So I'm looking for the opportunity of when they do the new site works, we look at crime prevention, particularly graffiti management, and also that the reserves around there are restored, and screening is considered as part of the whole works process. Other than that, I support the works as written.
If anyone likes question. Apple tickets, I've got some.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thanks, Your Worship. Just on the value of the land, in that it is Tallaght Cove and it is near the train line, and I just wanted to just query the value of the land.
Through the chair. So the values in there have been sort of both by the Valuer General and also Maloney in the Council's values. So there have been our independent values.
They've just been very low for that area.
Through the chair, I can take that on notice and provide some more information through email if that would be beneficial.
I'd invite, is it Mr. Morgshaw? Hawkshaw. You keep telling me that, don't you? Hawkshaw.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, please.
And thank you, Councillor. I'll touch on the first point, and then what you'd like to make, just on the wording, that we have to be quite careful, because our project has not received approval from Public Works Committee, so therefore we cannot make commitment to any of them. That being said, we will look to work with the councillor and your dedicated officers, or all of that, and our environmental officers, is in consultation with your environmental officers, and we are working through with our own security group in crime prevention, but as I said, word about the agreement from SA Water, and we can't make that agreement just yet. Our public works
No, please, and just to clarify on behalf of council, we weren't expecting you to say yes or no. if there were any insuperable difficulties, you might have alerted us, but we understand that there's a process to follow, and we're simply staking our claim, and then those negotiations will take place. If you could turn to the question of valuation.
Yes, so on the valuation as well, just like to note that SA Water will happen to work with council with regards to the valuation of the property. And I believe those valuations were prior to our revised plan for the land, in which we have actually taken on board feedback from the staff to actually shrink our footprint and actually maintain the assets across that area. So it was made on a large area than what we're actually doing.
Well, now I have another question, because the motion that's been moved seems to indicate that council will agree even though there's no valuation fixed in the motion itself. So perhaps I'd address this to Ms. Jarrett as our acting chief. Does that mean that whatever figure SA Water comes up with, we're going to agree with it?
I would certainly hope that Council's active participation in agreeing to the valuation of land and a fair valuation of the land. I notice that Resolution 2 is that Council actually retains its right to object to the acquisition or a component of the acquisition pursuant to the Land Acquisition Act. And so, therefore, if we do believe that a fair value has not been offered for that land, then we could object to that. I also note that Resolution 3 authorises the Chief Executive Officer to negotiate the terms and conditions. In that particular resolution, Council could actually make reference to ensuring that a fair valuation of the land is actually received prior to actually accepting the terms and conditions.
Part 3 is just about negotiating a right of entry to start works, so it's got nothing to do with the price. Okay. Heard it here, members. Councillor Hull?
Given that our neighbouring council, Wongpringa, is in an enduring dispute with you guys about the place called Spillages, is there appropriate contingencies for the staff to manage that in the event that it doesn't happen? I have another question.
I can answer that.
Yep.
Yes, this the planning that was done around this project was to minimise the risk of wastewater overflows. So this, the upgrade itself, the proposed upgrade will include...
If anybody...
...is a large diameter.
Last year I was to do a whole lot of logos. Well, I finally got to do them this morning, so I've done a logo for every team, except for our friend the Hunter. And I took a photo of their logo tonight. So if anyone wants anything different done, please tell me, because I just randomly did a heap of them. I'm most proud of each bowler.
The second question is, in terms of...
So if you want, I want to put them all up there so they're all sitting above everyone's head so they can't be graffitied, because they will be. We have a problem with that over the years in our club rooms. But we want to panel up of this with wood and have all the logos up there of all our teams.
My question is there any capacity with treated wastewater from this plant to actually use on our reserves in the nearby area?
So the wastewater here is untreated. This is a pumping station to lift it to the Christie's Beach wastewater treatment plant.
Apple tickets, so I have some.
Councillor Gard.
Yes, just a sort of more general question, probably for the public record more than anything. Obviously, the matter of wastewater is not something that you can fiddle around with. If there's pressure, there's pressure, and... I was just interested to know, because I sort of caught an inference in the report from our management that there were short time frames involved. The question really is, was the process and the decision-making in the process as to how the acquisition go through and other matters... affected by the fact that there were short time frames, and could that be avoided in the future? I may be just touching at straws here, but I just wanted some elaboration there.
Mr. Hawkshaw?
Yes, so there is short time frames for a multitude of reasons. The modelling suggests that it influenced and determined the need for the project and the upgrades that the pump stations were undersized, and the risk of overflow is greater during the wet weather months. So obviously we want to hit the ground running and minimise that risk as much as possible. Also, SA Water works on a regulatory business period, in which case funding it also dictates the need to push projects through to not jeopardise future projects in the next regulatory business period. We're coming to the end of it in June, so therefore we need to do the work as much as possible to not jeopardise the rest of our infrastructure and upgrades that are planned in the city. And also, obviously, approval processes, which are quite long when we get to the size of the project. So
this was somewhat of an unusual event in the overall scheme of things?
Yes.
Else members wanted to ask? Very well. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So thanks for coming along. I'm sorry that we didn't get to hear from Ms. Welsh, but capably advocated for by Mr... can I just call you Simon? Thank you for coming along. Let's... Now, members, this is one we either deal with quickly or I'd suggest we put off another time. But on page 364, we've got the elected member code of conduct procedure for investigating complaints. We've been briefed on it. We've talked about it. That's so, isn't it? So I'm really assuming that you've read it, and see if anyone wants to move. If no one's keen to move it, then we can always move to put it off to the next meeting. Move to defer to the next meeting, Councillor Westwood, seconded Councillor Kerry. Sorry, just to clarify what that motion was, are you including the following motion about the meeting procedures as well?
Objection. If you can all hear me, that's good.
No, I've got some objection.
If you can hear me, you can't hear me.
I'm just being a bit flexible here to try and race through.
Well, we'll do the raffle first.
Of course you were.
Several prizes to pick.
Let's just take it as this
comes up and picks what we want.
So there's a formal motion, there's no debate. Moving to defer it to the next meeting. All those in favour?
All those against?
It's carried unanimously. Now we come to code of practice procedures at meetings. Anyone to move? Councillor Telfer?
Next number.
Can you say before corporate reports? Because that would get around the problem that I identified earlier.
21490. Walking up very nonchalantly.
So you're happy if it says before corporate report, because then it gives us flexibility to have presentation first. Okay.
Next number.
Is that seconded, Councillor Hull?
Well, yes, but I don't.
21377. 21377. Next one. 21264.
Okay, slightly different topic. I mean, the meeting could have had when a motion.
Next one.
Because it hasn't been reached.
21405.
No, not
21405.
Then, and it's dealt with early in the meeting. The meeting can still dispose of it any way it wishes. It may lapse for want of a seconder. It might be carried. It might be rejected. There might be a
next one.
Adjourn it again.
21640.
I think you've got a point of order about what happened earlier in the meeting. The point of order needs to be taken as early as possible after the event. But I'll just say this.
I never had the opportunity to move the point of order.
The next one.
But
21340.
The call for seconding and the lapsing occurred before it was made clear to the chair.
Oh, okay.
The motion was being
it's a mystery prize because
the Oakland's crossing information actually did get changed, and that had already been moved. Exactly the same situation.
Might be something live in there. Be careful.
Motion. I mean, I suspect it's rather taken up with
next number.
21781. When a motion lapses, one of the second, what is the decision on the motion? So there you go. Come back. Do it all again. But it has to be said that the intention of the council has been expressed.
So, and your last one.
Councillor Bless, your question.
I'd like to amend this to include the option for
091
members at council meetings. I know there's some.
I wanted to see a clarification from the governance, because the same amendment has been moved.
Thank you very much. That ends the raffle.
Can that amendment be moved again?
The motion wasn't passed.
The amendment, I think it probably can, because an amendment is not passed in itself for the purpose of meeting. All right. Just before I accept that, I just want to there's some debate about whether the defeated amendment can be moved again on the same, essentially the same motion. So we can do that. I'm just mindful that we've got 20 minutes left.
You're winning ring tonight.
But you're free to move. Well, I don't know, I think we need a rule.
There you go,
Mark. Okay, I'll accept the amendment. So the amendment is that we adopt the new procedures subject to the variation suggested by Councillor Telfer. And without the change which these meeting procedures bring in relation to elected member reports, that would leave the current situation standing, whereby we each get to stand up for 3 minutes and tell everyone what
it is.
Okay. Councillor Hull seconded the motion, and so now I have Councillor Velasco in the amendment. Do you want to speak further to the amendment or the motion, Councillor Velasco?
Yeah, look, just in regards to the amendment, I understand that we don't want to sit around and have 36 minutes of us talking about ourselves, but I really think in the mature way that we
this
do
for the round blues,
that won't be the case. I just don't want to shut out that option for us. If we think there is something that we do wish to discuss that not in a report, that we should have the option to do so. So if we're not moving this, not as an entitlement, I really see it as a privilege. I wouldn't seek to. I don't think other members would as well. We have a lot on our agenda. So that's how I'd like to include it.
Okay, so first of all, is the amendment seconded? Did you wish to speak to the amendment and or the motion? No. Councillor Crossan.
Does the amendment mean that
Sorry, now, under the Appleby manoeuvre, we now vote on the amendment before proceeding. So I'm sorry.
Mine's a question, though.
I'll take a question. Should we take a question?
No, the question is a clarification. Does the Chair the option of refusing stand up and speak?
No, it would be as of right. You would have guaranteed 36 minutes, and I think I'd probably include myself in that every meeting. But we've got plenty of time for these things, so why not? And of course, in an election year, we've probably got double it. But anyway, we'll get to that when it comes up. I therefore put the motion.
There's a sponsor's prize here, so
raise your hand.
The first card is a Marion Sports Club voucher.
It's getting late. I put the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand.
For the lead.
All those against. That's it, yes. It's carried by majority.
Lead from Dream Team,
so
right.
We will come with that. Thank you. Are there any other speakers?
Yep.
Then
prize for the second.
That's the prize. Just a quick question. If this does start getting our hands...
It's for the second of the card that we put out.
We can always move a motion, just like this report has come back to council. any council can move a motion to say, I want to change the meeting procedures to do X, Y, Z.
The car will be followed up.
It wouldn't be a rescission motion because you can go back.
Next is a third, which is the Murray and Balling Club voucher.
So, Councillor Telfer, any points in the vote? Are you happy? No, all those in favour of the motion.
And the last one for the screen is
carried by majority. Big pardon. I'll just take the vote again. All those in favour.
This is for a Warradale voucher. Skipper of Jackay.
Well, there is not an absolute majority. The motion is not carried. Motion is carried. That's right. So, it's the Valescu manoeuvre.
Well, don't.
Page 398. We haven't
been
virtual for a while, so let's talk about quickly.
Of the
anyone to move? Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pryor. That's getting into the spirit. Any speakers against Christmas? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's it.
He wasn't here on Tuesday, which he won
unanimously. Next page. Oh, the finance report.
So this is for the jackpot, the number three player from this team.
So, looking for someone to move. Councillor Telfer.
Number three from the Scorpion.
I'd like to start with a question about the financing of the Cove City Centre and the City Services. What will be the financial impact
on
the surplus next year? What will be the cash flow treasury impact of
don't spend it all at once.
Two items next year?
If anyone has a spare player next week because the Red Bears are missing a player, if anybody wants to play, is spare next week, no?
We're not getting the answers to significant questions, I'm always. Did you not hear the answer by Mr. Barnwell? Essentially, he's taking it on notice to come back with an answer. I just want to point out to members that we can move a formal motion to adjourn. This is not too time sensitive.
We'll let you all know, but Melbourne will be a problem next week. The Jacks can't play. So whoever the hijacks are playing, we'll let you know.
But,
who the hijacks playing?
Councillor Telfer, it's with you. What would you like to... You've moved the motion.
I've moved the motion.
Did you have any other questions or comments?
No, I have no other questions and comments other than the one taking on the...
Hijacks playing the Four Kings.
Councillor Crossland. Anything? Any other questions or comments? Very well. I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Must have been a good report. Questions. We simply note the
question. For coming and. Councillor. Tom's at his first night. We can take his learners off now and fight next week.
Impact.
Thanks.
We note that Councillor asked a question about encouragement of aged care facility investment. And we note there's some interest expressed in the Dover Gardens primary school site. Question about from Councillor Gard about Oakland's crossing in emergencies. We note that. Of the remaining motions. Okay. I know that there are a couple of sensitive ones. Perhaps we'll just plough on. We've got a bit over 10 minutes left. Councillor Bilescu, you're looking at me. Up to you. To 10:20. Is that seconded, Councillor Pfeiffer? All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So let's press on. Councillor Hull to move. Development proposal notice. Are you moving as it is or as amended, Councillor Hull?
I'm moving as is.
I'll just ask then if there's a seconder. A seconder, Councillor Fry? Oh, sorry, you have a question, Councillor Fry.
The advice from Mr. Hooper is not crystal clear in this case about the statutory authority of council to do this.
Is that
something that someone can clarify for me, please?
As I understand it, Mr. Hooper is saying that under the current law, at least, such notifications can't be required, so it's a matter of getting agreement of the place where you want to put the sign. Ask Ms. Jarrett to...
Yes, that is correct. There is no statutory authority at this point in time. However, it is contemplated under the changes to the planning laws.
But I note that there's no jurisdictional problem because Councillor Hull's motion talks about subject to the approval of the applicant. Is the motion seconded, Councillor Pryor? Councillor Hull, please proceed.
Mr. Mayor, the swinging practices here do worry me that suddenly tonight the mover cannot move the motion until it's...
Order, started. That's irrelevant. Get on with it or you'll be out of order.
You'll hear more about this.
Sure.
I think Councillor... for his question in regards to the voluntary aspect of it. Mr. Hooper's report attached to this is comprehensive. It actually talks about coming to an agreement with the developer about putting the sign up. It also talks about pending legislation changes, and it talks about maybe that we could actually lead the way with this. By adopting this in advance on a voluntary basis to actually indicate to the state government that this is a good idea going forward, particularly if the planning stuff's going to be wrestled away from us. We want as much transparency and notification as we can possibly get, even with the current system. This is a practice, obviously, in the City of Sydney. It's a practice overseas. I've seen it overseas before where, you know, you've been walking along and all, what's that all about? Oh, something's planned here. The state of New South Wales does it extensively. So I think that with people busy with their lives, they often miss the point that there's something going to happen important in their street, whether it be next door, across the road, down the road, that could impact on traffic management and whatever. Now, I just think that it is important for us to give the community a heads up that there is something important happening in their part of the world. And this is just a way of doing it. Admittedly, it's a voluntary practice. It's something that has been negotiated. In the City of Sydney, as you could see by the sign that I put in the report, I snapped this in William Street in Sydney, just alongside the hotel I was staying in for the conference I went to. And it was on a multi-storey building. It was probably 15 stories. This could easily go on a fence. It could go on a star dropper, but it's a laminated plastic A3, and it tells people what is going to happen there. It's heads up, and I don't think we do that enough, particularly with a planning process that seems to be going away from us, that the community is concerned about lack of consultation, they're concerned about lack of notification, and this is actually I think, part of the solution. And, you know, what's good for the city of Sydney could be good for us. And above all, Marion could lead the way with this in terms of expected practices, in terms of planning, notification and transparency.
Yeah, look, I'd actually like to speak against the motion, not because I don't agree with it, but I think Marion Council has actually led the way on this. A motion was moved in the last council, which no doubt Councillor Hull did approve, that looked at this notification. It was part of the consultation process for the planning laws, and as a result, we do have notification in the planning laws. And importantly, when I moved the motion, it was over a year ago, I wanted us to include, and the feedback included, a development that's likely to have significant impact. And the catalyst for this was not a category one, not a category two or a category three development, but a category one, where you've got where you had a subdivision resident told me about in a cul-de-sac where I believe there were limited parking and it was one to two or one to three, and there was no requirement for notification. So that was what it was about. So I think we've already made our contribution. We've already influenced legislation. We've already led the way. And I feel we're repeating ourselves, and we've got so many other important strategic issues and other work for the development area to do, especially in our development plan of everything, that I think their efforts and our efforts would be better concentrated on those. And I'm not supporting this motion, not because I don't agree with Councillor Hull, but we've already done work on this, we have led the way, and I feel that we're just rehashing old ground. And with a council that's looking towards the future, I don't think that's the right way to go.
This is a point of order. What was the question? Before the second. Okay. Look, anything that gets our community more information about our development plans is a good thing. The opening of the DAP was a good thing. I can agree somewhat with Councillor Valescu. I think some of the Category 1s do cause us more angst than some of the Cat 2s and Cat 3s. But the Category 2s and Category 3s that are going through at the moment are definitely causing angst. And I think that anything which can give our community more information is definitely a good thing. So.
I'd speak against the motion because I think it might be appropriate for Category 3, but not Category 2.
Just a question. Are we allowed to put the notices on nearby lampposts? That's the procedure that happens in the UK.
I don't believe that is allowable. I'll need to double-check that. Kate, do you have a view?
Do it if you're throwing a rave party.
Okay. Yeah, we would need the permission of the infrastructure owner, so SA Power Networks, in order to put signs up on poles, etc.
Very well. Councillor Appleby.
I speak against the motion, Your Worship. I think it creates expectations in the community that everyone can have their say on development when they can't. Notwithstanding the disclaimer, a lot of people won't see the fine print, and then it'll create a lot of anxiety when they realise that their views can't be taken into account.
Any other speakers? Councillor Hull, to close the debate.
Mr Mayor, it's fascinating that this council sort of championed the opening of the DAP. Councillor Valescu was part of that, and yet tonight we've got a bit of a different approach. We actually don't put signs up so people don't know what's going on. He's worried about Category 1 developments, but, and we're worried about what we can and can't do. But after thorough discussion with Mr Hooper, it was realised that really Category 2 and 3 is probably where we can do this as a start. We might be able to, depending on legislation, go further down the track, but at this point in time, it's what we've got. Now, it could be suggested it's going to be legislation anyway before long. Why not preempt that legislation, I say? The more information we have out there, the better. As for the fine print, we addressed this in the report where we didn't want to build up expectations. Like, obviously, if it's a Category 3 and you live across the road next door, there's no misunderstandings about that. Category 2, you can still be across the road next door, but if you're up the street a bit, that's not going to be the case. But, you know, the sign that I'm proposing, and Mr. Hooper picked up this point, makes it very clear that of what the requirements are for you to be able to reasonably make a contribution to the DAP. So, look, I guess in this case, you really believe in providing information to our community that is... the alternative is we keep doing what we're doing and you find out the hard way, essentially. You find out when the slab starts to go down. I don't think that's really a good outcome. I think it's better to at least have the opportunity to see on a sign that in a few months' time there may well be a development happening next door and it's on your property boundary, for example. You know, we don't do enough about this issue of property boundaries and building on the property boundary, that is, but a lot of people come home from work and find their fence down, their dog's got out, and they've got the slab going down. That's what worries me, and that's what really has provoked me to actually try and address that by having a sign go up, admittedly under a voluntary practice. I was chuffed that the administration seemed to accommodate this and see the merit, even though it has got the issues with it where people need to read it very carefully to understand what they can and can't do in the process. So, look, it's over to you, and we'll see if I can have a better ending for the night than I had at the beginning.
Thank you. Before I put it to the vote, Councillor Gard, if you've got a point of order, but otherwise the debate is well and truly finished. Thank you. Putting it to the vote, all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That motion is lost. Majority.
Thank you, Your Worship. Very, very good news story, in fact. It's one that I'm just so stoked about. It's just a lovely, lovely thing that's happened. Look, I'll take the report itself as read, but it is an exciting one. After 30 years of being lost, we've found the Edwardstown Honour Board, which is incredibly exciting, and thank you for staff for putting it up. There's another photo there as well. That's it now. So that's the original one was it in 1920. That's it a couple of months ago. Look, it is very, very exciting. When the old Edwardstown Institute was demolished in the 1980s, it went missing, and many of the older residents of Edwardstown have spoken about the myth of the old honour board that disappeared and it was never seen again. So... a local historian by the name of Jennifer Vincent recently, back in April, became aware of the honour board and went chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing. She followed so many leads it wasn't funny, and she found it, dug it up. It's in darn near perfect condition. Look, this is a very, very important part of our history. There are 207 names memorialised on that honour board. Within this area, that part of Northern Marion, it was a farming area at the time. 207 people to go from a farming area is quite a lot. Many of them did return. This honour board memorialises those who died and those who came back. But at the time, in 1920, the honour board was commissioned to memorialise those people. At a very, very similar time, the community actually went out and to memorialise those same 207 individuals bought the land that is now Edwardstown Oval. What this motion is seeking to do is, with the agreement of the Warradale Barracks, with the full agreement of the Warradale Barracks, seek to hopefully one day bring that honour board to the site that is actually memorialising those same people. It's a lovely story. It's a great thing. I believe, look, we do have a councillor sitting around this horseshoe tonight who has a family member memorialised on that on a board. It's a very, very exciting thing that we can actually bring this back in front of the community, in front of the eyes of the community. Thank you.
That seconded. Councillor Kerry, did you wish to speak? Councillor Telfer?
Yeah, I had tears in my eyes when I found that this was actually discovered again, because my grandfather and his five brothers are listed on that board. And from that, I've been working with Jen Vincent to start a walk of the Edwardstown area to replicate some of that history. So we're also struggling now to get the dying Messing Avenue trees that were planted 99 years ago, recognised in 2017. We want to, Anzac Day, do something big and replant another 40 trees to replace those. So there's a lot happening just from finding this board and from bringing this forward, so it's very exciting.
Yes, indeed. And of course, we're discussing this just after the 100th anniversary of the first Anzac Day, which of course was in October 1917. Any other speakers? 1915, sorry. We're in 2015, aren't we? Getting ahead of myself. Yes, but the first Anzac Day, I was saying. Yeah. Well then, I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Councillor Westwood to move. Electrical vehicles.
Thank you. I move that motion. May I comment? I could hear you without the microphone. Okay, well, very briefly, as it's getting late, I think everyone pretty well knows the outline of this. I'm just trying to search or research the possibilities of use of electric vehicles and possible manufacture in the local area, if possible. I'd just like to some kind of formal support from council. Also to justify a little bit of support from the staff, I believe some are keen to give it. And at this stage, just as a quick one, I have support of, or the interest of at least one professor at Flinders and a couple of others by the sounds of it coming on, and quite a few other people, including a couple of state politicians, including the Treasurer and Annabelle de Gantz. So things are picking up, and this coming Thursday, I think Councillor Gard and we've been invited to tour the GMH plant this coming Thursday, and we may turn that into electric vehicle plants. Anyway, so that's just really some support for the researching of this area to see if we can get something going, at least to support electric vehicles, if nothing else. Thank you.
Yeah, I think a project like this is only good can come from it, and whatever does come from it, whether it be something local or something broader or just information back that's giving us more wisdom on that subject, I think irrespective of what comes of it, it's a very worthy motion, and I wholeheartedly support it.
It's a question. Can you tell me how much the additional resources that Anne Gibbons has requested will cost?
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. I do actually believe that we will be able to do this within the existing resources rather than requesting any additional resources. It may just take that little bit extra time. We will need to draw on the resources of from resources within the economic development area and also Anne Gibbons' area to combine there, but it will be done within the existing resources.
Thank you, Worship. I just point out that electric vehicles are powered by coal, so they're not that environmentally friendly after all. And also the other point is So don't really contribute to a more livable state because you can't get far. You'll be stuck in Adelaide.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that comment, which extends us beyond the parochial. Councillor Hull?
Look, I support this, and to the contrary, Councillor Appleby, if your vehicle's being charged from solar electricity, there's no coal involved, so, that I know of. A question, though, a serious question, because I think that you have to walk and chew gum with this one, along with other things we discussed. From that conference I went to in Sydney, there were councils interstate, in Melbourne in particular, that are well advanced with this particular issue as a corporate endeavour, using electric cars. I think we've got one, the Mitsubishi MIEV. I think that's still in the fleet, is it not? Yeah. Now, where I'm going with this is electric charging stations. That council in Melbourne is actually providing the amenity. It's all very well to encourage electric cars, but we're not actually providing the amenity to actually charge them. And, you know, obviously there's a meter on that and you can charge for the power, but it has to be part of this endeavour that we provide the amenity for electric vehicles in our own car parks, the library, the depot, wherever. Otherwise, it's really a hollow promise. So I'd like to see that point picked up as well. I know there are private electric charging stations in our city, believe it or not, in Edwardstown, just off South Road. So, you know, private sector's already picked up on this to a limited degree. I think we need to provide some leadership and also provide that amenity as well.
And just to chip in some information... In the Netherlands, the practice goes one step further, whereby you have cars sitting around at your shopping centres or whatever. You go and pay with your credit card to get in there, and then you drive it where you want to go, and you leave it to the next person. Anyway, something to think about. Councillor Pryor?
Just my favourite question about electric cars. Has anybody talked to Tesla? Anyone? Tesla? Just a starting point, perhaps they seem to have some sort of electric car that works, I heard.
Yep. I think it's a retail price about 90 grand, but they have lots of charging stations on these. And
we are looking at diversifying our council incomes.
Indeed. Any more takers, then I ask Councillor Westwood, would you like to close the debate?
Yes. Any suggestions will be considered, of course, and no stone will be left unturned. Thank you.
All those against? That's carried by majority. Next item, Councillor Crossland to move in relation to Capella Drive Reserve. I note that Mr. Mifsud has left the room because of conflict of interest due to his participation in the relevant cricket club, I believe. Well, you can claim that their time is sensitive. I just before we put that to a vote, the motion is in order, but just before we put that to a vote, I note that after communicating with members that I had caused to be communicated to Mr. Valentine that we wouldn't be dealing with the confidential report tonight because there were some issues there that need discussion. So let's see, that's Crossland and Valesca. Oh no, well, not a material one. So I accept the motion that we deal with the remaining three items. Should be out of here by midnight. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Byram. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So, Councillor Crossland, to move Capella reserve. Now, just a question. Is it worth moving these two motions en bloc?
No, because they're completely separate.
Oh, okay, I beg your pardon. Yep. Councillor Crossland to move, Capella Drive Reserve.
Okay, so I've already submitted comments by email and on the motion, but I'll just summarise because I know we're short on time. At the moment, Capella Reserve is shared by the young soccer players of Cove Sport and also Shido Cricket Club. Shido Cricket Club, after discussions earlier in the year, reapproached me and stated that because they were aware of the chronic shortage of soccer facilities, they were prepared to relocate to one of their three or two other ovals. I think they have three currently, subject to them being able to break the lease without any lease break costs. And also the oval that they'll be relocating to will need a top dressing to the value of $3,000. I spoke to council staff. If we do relocate the cricket, we'll actually overall throughout the year save more than $3,000 because of the saved expense in changing soccer to cricket and the various changeover costs that incurs. The other part of the motion is to then allow Cove Soccer to lease that reserve for the whole 12 months. This will enable us to build permanent soccer posts on that reserve, which means that not only will the young soccer players be able to use it for training and matches, but during the week and school holidays, it will provide the only facility in Hallett Cove for people to play soccer, other than the seniors' pitch at Cove Sports Club. The other option is referred to is to investigate the option of installation of lights at the reserve. Cove Soccer have applied for landlord's permission to investigate whether that's an option. They have quotes already for different options available for that reserve. However, I've been advised by council staff that they would want to check those quotes and check the suitability of the reserve for light poles. Apparently, sometimes the quotes don't actually soil test properly and there's been an overrun of any works proceeded. So on the advice of staff, the investigation works are added into this motion so that proper investigations can take place. I'll also just note that the landlord's approval does not approve the light poles. All it gives is the option for them to move forward to make a development approval and for Cove Soccer to move towards a community consultation. So there's a lot of speed humps to go over before it comes back to council. And it also enables Cove Soccer to start looking at grant funding, because without landlord's approval, the last time they applied for a grant, it was not back because we didn't have landlord's approval.
Thank you, Councillor Crossland. Just a point of clarification, the motion you're moving is slightly varied to what was in the agenda.
When I submitted the motion, we couldn't grant landlord's approval because they'd only requested it verbally. They've subsequently filled in the official form and submitted it to our leasing, so that enabled the change to say to the amendment. At
and is
point five
clause seven, is that added?
No, I believe was that added as well? I thought that was on the original motion.
That's in five. Oh, that's the one that was five, right?
The only addition is five.
Okay, thank you. Seconded, Councillor Byram. Did you wish to speak to that, Councillor Byram? Please do.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, this is something that is going to really help with the soccer in the south. It is going to be some time until we get the major project up. This will go some way to helping with the numbers of the youth that we're turning away in the south by having that facility all year. It also is going to save us money in that the land there doesn't have to be changed every 6 months from being cricket to soccer. So that's where that comes into that saving some money each year. So the $3,000 is fully supported for getting the cricket club to move so that we can actually have this happening, improve the facilities for the South, and get youth starting to be able to play soccer.
Yes, just to speak in favour of the motion, particularly in regard to Capella Reserve, which is Coastal Ward. I do feel that aside from the soccer, which is an undeniable need, and I think probably the figures are very conservative as to the number of would-be participants had we were we to introduce greater facilities. But I do feel too that the improvements to Capella Reserve will add value to that general area as well, and and in a number of ways. I think for other activities and just for general clean-up of the area, which it is actually needed.
Through the chair to staff. I'd like to ask about the fact that Edwardstown Oval and getting the National Stronger Regions Fund work done by the end of January is taking maximum staff resources from the infrastructure team. How are we going to suddenly, in the next 2 months, bring soils tests and reviews and further reports by January 2016. Are there extra resources within staff to do this work?
Within the land and property team, so, but they... In their response, they've indicated that they can bring it back in January, so we'll have an impact, but it can be achieved within existing resources.
Do you have a further comment, Councillor Telfer?
Yes, I'll speak to the motion. I'm very concerned. We've taken on, and we've been told by the prior acting CEO that we focus on what we should be focusing on, and now it's Edwardstown Oval, and we have staff that are working on that. We have a priority for soccer, yes, but we were working on other issues to do with soccer, and we got funding for those. Now we've got a motion that comes up asking for identified savings from last year to go towards this. I'm not sure that we've teased this through, that we've worked on it. I've been to all the SportsCom meetings, and this hasn't been the focus of the SportsCom meetings as such, and we are asked to vote on this tonight. I don't want to vote against it, but I don't want to vote for it either, so I'll just have to go to the toilet in a minute.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Councillor Telfer. I've got a question. With this motion, not the next one, but this one, the total bill that could possibly come from this motion is $3,000, is that correct? $8,000?
$8,000.
It's less than 10? Okay. That's all I need to know.
Through the chair, if I can...
Please, Ms. Dixon.
Clarify. Also, the report that will be brought back in January will detail like the full costings of it, and that's what the investigation report, like the funding.
Perhaps when Councillor Crossland speaks to close the debate, he can outline what can be expected once the investigation is done, and we're actually putting up, you know, marking the paint on the soccer pitch, etc.
What's the cost of staff time in relation to this on top of the... Or is that incorporated in that $8,000?
I don't think it's incorporated in the $8,000. Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, no. We'd have to we haven't equated that. As with Councillor Telfer's question, it will have an impact. It is like it will require staff to put time into it, but it's not requesting additional resources. But we haven't quantified the amount of work, so I can't provide that tonight.
Councillor Hull?
That's it.
Councillor Valescu?
I support this. It's, I guess we're looking at getting a quick solution, but I think that the remarks that Councillor Telfer is making are important, and I guess maybe that's something we need to think about when we look at some of these sort of short-term, I guess, wins, is you know, short-term improvements. My question's about the staff time. Because it hasn't been identified, are we to assume that it is not a significant amount of time? Or is that safe to assume in all cases? Is that safe to assume in this case?
That would be the assumption. It's not that significant that we're requiring additional resources.
Clarify was, I guess there is still a resource implication, and some other things that have come up in the past have had the estimated opportunity cost in the staff time. This one hasn't, and a few other things haven't. Are we safe to assume that it is identified as a smaller, negligible cost, and that's why it hasn't been included, or it just hasn't been thought of?
If Council's wanting that level of detail, my preference would be to take that on notice and send that through by an email, because we haven't gone through the process of quantifying it. What staff have done is weighed that up with the projects that they have on, and if Council wishes for resources to be put into this this area, then that can be achieved within additional resources, within existing resources.
I just observed that for the new council, that is since last November, it seems to be the exception that staff time is included. So generally it seems not to be, but I can think of the Oaklands Crossing motion where it was, and a substantial extra amount of human resource time was sought. But generally speaking, we seem to be advised either in the report if it's not sustainable within existing stretching resources. Fair comment?
That's correct.
Yes, thank you. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, it's just this is a worthy cause, but as Councillor Telfer mentioned in an earlier item, I'm getting a bit tired of drawing on savings tonight. We're just pulling more and more and more on savings, specifically tonight. And look, I mean, I don't know how or exactly when this changed, but it used to be that you'd wait for the budget review to get these things done, or else you'd wait to the next budget. All of a sudden, we're just pulling down savings, pulling down savings, pulling down savings. I'm just getting frustrated. I know this isn't a lot of money. It's only $8,000. But we're just going back and back and back for more and more and more. Like, we're trying to pull these savings together for various things that we want to strategically aim for. We're just chipping away at it all night tonight.
So there is a name for it. It's called the Gervois syndrome. That's a fair point. Councillor Westwood.
Yes, just briefly, I do support the motion. It does seem to be fairly quick and opportunistic, I have to say, of course, but the thing is that there are so many kids piling up at the doors trying to get in, and they're not getting a go. So I think that we really should have it, carry this and get on with the job, really, because we're here to facilitate the community's activities, and this is more than worthwhile.
Councillor Hull, have you spoken? Only ask a question. Yes, thank you.
Another one.
Sure.
That report that's coming back in January, will that be... The timing of it seems to be reasonable, because it's generally March that we start to think about the budget process. Is that the intention, that report would actually then feed into budget considerations for the 16-17 budget process?
I think the intention was that we'd come back with a quantified amount and Councillor Crossland would bring a motion for us to pay to get the job done. But
if that needs to be clarified...
That can be clarified in when closing the debate.
All right.
Councillor Pryor is done. Any other speakers? I think that's just about everyone. Councillor Crossland to close the debate.
Thank you. So if I could answer some of the questions raised, there won't be a major staff impact. $3,000 will go to a private contractor to do the topsoil. I didn't realise that we don't have council services to do topsoils on ovals. We have to pay contractors. So therefore, that would be a private contractor. The $5,000 is for a private electrical engineer contractor and a soil tester, both of which I believe aren't services provided by council. So again, that's where the external funding is. It's not something that council can do. For January, there's two reasons why it's time critical. One, because the Shido Park Cricket Club and Cove Soccer Club need to plan ahead for what they're doing after this season and whether they can advertise to play matches on the new area. It's also linked in with the Cove Soccer wanting to apply for grant funding, which apparently they'll be able to apply for in January for March payments. Did I miss any other questions? And regarding costs, obviously there will be no additional costs because in March, April, the whole area is set up for soccer. And in October, it has to be taken all the way and set up for cricket. So it will be set up for soccer as normal. But whereas we have the expense of removing soccer pitches and reinstating cricket ovals and cricket pitches, that expense will no longer be required. So it's actually will save money throughout next year.
So Councillor Crossland, just to be clear, once the report comes back to us in January, was it your intention to come back to council for more money to establish the soccer pitches? Or are you saying that that's
no,
done
the,
with an existing
the,
budget?
The, if you look, the investigation works. It's to look at the opportunity of looking for the potential installation of sports lights. So it's for future, but not. So the immediate one is just to use the soccer pitches as is, with no additional expenditure, and a report to come back to council to work out if lighting is possible on that reserve so that the kids can use the reserve rather than damaging the one soccer pitch we've got at Cove Sports, which is what's happening at the moment.
Next. Anyway, but this is to investigate whether lights are feasible, and if it looks feasible, you'll come back to that in a budgetary process?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. All right. I'll put the motion. All those in favour... Raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That motion's carried by majority. Next item of business, we come to Councillor Crossland, Cove Soccer Irrigation System.
In light of concerns, can I change the motion before it's put to say that the expenditure will be considered in the first budget review, which was actually the original motion?
And if I could just get the advice on appropriate wording.
Is what I'm concerned about is what is the risk factor to council if there's an injury and we don't do anything about it?
Yes, certainly. I would like to seek the advice of Mr. Mifsud in terms of the appropriate wording. I do, and I am aware that referring something to the first budget review at this point in time is not the preferred approach because the first budget review, Vinny, would you like to respond?
Yeah, through the chair. So under council's policies, all a budget review does is provide us with a projection or a forecast moving forward, so it doesn't give certainty in terms of what council's financial position is going to be until the accounts are audited at the end of the year and the actual position is verified. We have absolutely no certainty about whether council's going to achieve a surplus deficit or otherwise, and that is written into council's existing policy.
Well, so I've got a question about that. To say that there's no certainty about any of that as if it's a complete mystery. How does that sit with, you know, when you, Mr. Mifsud, you were telling me that we expect there's about 3 million actually that can be banked in cash out of the operating surplus. I mean, I can't make sense of it.
Just through the chair, we're talking about two different things. So the budget reviews are actually reforecasting the original budget at three different points in time throughout the financial year. As we go through those budget reviews, we have a designated service program and a capital works program that council has endorsed as part of the budget process. Circumstances that are unpredictable occur during the year, so until we actually get to the end of the financial year, we don't have certainty about what that position will be. What we're talking about with the 14-15 year is the audit has just been concluded. Council actually now has audit of accounts that you've endorsed tonight. That then puts us in a position where we can reconcile that back against the original budget that council adopted, and we can verify precisely what the cash surplus will be.
Well, Mr. Mifsud, if I can ask this question to clarify Councillor Crossland's intention, he wants to bring the matter back at a suitable time when a more strategic view of the budget can be considered, but not necessarily in June 2016, at some point when we've got a realistic snapshot that can allow us to identify where funding could come from. So what would be a suitable opportunity?
Through the chair, as part of a report that's coming to council in November this year, that will actually provide you with a verification of the audited savings from the previous financial year, and that'll be the most appropriate position to do that. So we'll know precisely what the savings are for the 2014-15 year when the report comes to council in November as part of the first budget review, but it's not linked to the first budget review, it's just incorporated with that report.
And because it's time sensitive, are we talking about the first or the second council meeting in November?
Through the chair, at this point in time, the schedule is for the second meeting in November.
All right. Well, Councillor Crossland, back to you. You haven't moved the motion yet. I don't know whether you want to bring it on tonight or what you want to do.
Maybe I could just clarify something. Bear in mind the report that we got from council and the dangerous surface that we currently presented with. We have until the first week in January to provide a suitable playing surface. Is it realistic to redo the playing surface irrigation system in 4 weeks?
Well, Ms. Jarrett?
Yes, thank you, through the chair. I have had advice from the Manager of Infrastructure today that if there is any delays with this particular motion, that the necessary works would not be able to be completed in time.
And where does that leave us legally with the risks, or would we have to abandon soccer at Hallett Cove Sports Club?
Yeah, so just to clarify the facts there, we've got one pitch at Hallett Cove for public use, and the footy season, the footy club, basically by playing on it at a certain time, have left it hacked up. So it's not a level playing field. Is that a fair summary?
So there's one soccer pitch at Cove Sports. Currently, everybody has to use it because there's no alternative. The irrigation system has never worked, and the more it's been used, the worse the pitch is. We walked across it with Mr. Skull about 3 weeks ago, and it was hard to walk across, and the comment was made, this is not a fit playing surface. Made inquiries. The reason it's like that is because the irrigation system that was fitted was incorrect. It's never worked, and we now pay a member of staff to visit the site two or three times a day, all season long, to try and water it, which is quite costly and sometimes leads to flooding or literally no water on most of the pitch. Hence, there's no grass. Okay, I'll put the motion as is. As I say, we need urgent repairs and we need a risk-free soccer pitch. Currently, the problem is with the irrigation, and I've been advised that we cannot provide a safe soccer pitch to use next year unless we replace the irrigation system, fix the pitch. So that's the motion.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Just to give a little bit more background to this, last year the preparing of that soccer pitch was done too late in the season, and so when the soccer playing started this year, that created more damage to the surface, and they tried to do a resurface of that field this year for the end of the season, but it was done 3 weeks before they stopped playing, so it has really become wrecked. And so I think we do need to include our further studies on management of the centre with this.
You're raising some broader issues that we'll come back to later. And sorry, I said footy club. It was actually the soccer club using it, but the inappropriate timing of the irrigation that occurred.
Not only the irrigation, but doing the topsoil and stuff has all been a real problem in this last 12 months.
Okay.
And has caused not only the irrigation system, but all of that has caused the bad. And even walking over it, you can sprain your ankle. It is that bad.
Okay. Anyone? We'll take questions. Councillor Pryor.
I'm a bit curious as to what we get for $100,000 of worth of sprinklers. I mean, that's like a complete aisle of Bunnings, I think. So is there a description of what we get for $100,000?
Councillor Crossland, or can staff help
that,
with that?
That was the design that's already been done by council some time ago, but never installed because of the cost. Where they got that quotation from or which company, I don't know.
And note that the report points out there's an offsetting cost because we've got staff going down there with a hose at the moment to do the job. So there's an enormous amount of staff time going into it at the present. Councillor Pfeiffer, thank you for being patient.
Thank you, Your Worship. A double barrel question. If this has been an issue for 5 years, it stopped working 5 years ago. Why are we only finding out about it now? Why are we finding out about it through a motion with notice? Question one. Question two. This is a City of Marion asset. It's been busted for 5 years. Why isn't it treated like any other asset and fixed? Why do we have to be allocating savings money towards it? Why aren't we just treating it like any other asset? Why isn't it like a busted footpath or a road with a pothole? Why do we have to allocate extra money towards it?
Excellent question. Which of the managers would like to answer that? Well, I'm next to a microphone just for a minute.
Yes, thank you, through the chair. They're all very good questions, and they are certainly questions that we need to ask ourselves. I have actually asked those of the staff concerned. The renewal of the sprinkler system, I do need my iPad because I've got the information in an email there, so if you could bear with me for a moment.
But certainly Councillor Pfeiffer seems to make a good point. Something busted 5 years ago and a band-aid job has been used for 5 years. It's incredible.
Absolutely. And we should have actually been renewing this infrastructure prior to now. It is absolutely considered within the asset management matrix as operational, and it should have been programmed in and certainly done before now. I can't actually say why has the council only found out just now through a motion with notice, but we certainly do need to ensure that this is in our program.
I seek leave for the questions and answer be recorded in the minutes. Do I have leave of the meeting? Thank you. Councillor Hull, you're next.
Mr Mayor, when we visited this complex within this council term, none of this was brought to our attention. Like, Like, you know, we met with the manager down there and nothing was mentioned, which is fascinating. The other thing is, too, across our city we've got a number of sporting clubs. Now, are there any other sporting clubs in Marion that have had busted stuff for 5 years that we don't know about? And in fact, I bet if you surveyed the clubs, I'm sure they'd come up with all got similar stories about issues that are dangerous or hazardous or haven't been fixed. Now, I get back to Councillor Telfer's point about process and, standing in the queue. And I get back to my point, Mr. Mayor, about discipline. And we've reached the case in question. You know, first of all, we had the Halleco foreshore. Then tonight we had the dog park that has the Gucci collar and the poodles, because that's the most expensive dog park that I've seen, particularly with the size of a housing block. And there's others in the barrel as well, like the BMX. You know, I'm starting to hear stories about that that hasn't been the full story. Like, for example, we're contributing towards a report and an assessment, but we haven't been told about how much it's going to cost for the infrastructure yet. So, I'm getting concerned about the massaging that's going on. I've been disciplined. Nathan and I, we've got things to talk about.
You're referring to Councillor Pryor, perhaps?
Councillor Pryor, yeah, he's called that as well. And I think that we can trot out a few as well. But we thought that we actually had a line to tow.
Sounds like there needs to be a strategic discussion about the issue, and probably next appropriate time. Well, we've got a little bit of time in forum in December, have we, for prioritisation? So we could use that time, and if Ms Harvey could take that on board in terms of her agenda for that particular forum. Sounds like we could do with a discussion about it at a broader level. But tonight, we'll get back to the motion. Did any other members have questions before contributing? Councillor Pryor?
Just a quick one about how long we've had staff going down there with hoses, watering
The report.
The whole 5 years?
Yep. Two or three times a day. I presume that's not every day. Any Councillor Hull's question, any other reserves where this is happening? Ms Jarrett?
Yes, thank you. Through the Chair, I did ask that same question as well, and the condition of other playing services in the City of Marion is good and do not require any irrigation upgrades. Apparently, we have recently upgraded irrigation systems at Kellett and Mitchell Park ovals.
Ms Jarrett, now that you've found the relevant email, is there anything else you wanted to add before we proceed? Okay, Councillor Telfer.
The Mitchell Park has only got half of its irrigation working, and so I guess next meeting I can bring forward a motion like this and suggest that identified savings be used to sort out the other half of the Mitchell Park oval, given that the Glenelg Football Club are going to use it right through summer. I think we need to get back to some orderly processes about how we deal with this. We haven't decided as a council, over and above Edwardstown being our priority, how much soccer is going to be our priority. Are we talking about 2, 4 or 6 pitches? Because we're working on this one, the prior 2 pitches at Capella, the 2 at O'Halloran Hill. We haven't defined that. And we need to define that, and we need to define our other projects. So we have some strategic work to do, and I look forward to doing that in December. But I support that we get moved forward in this unfortunate case.
Other speakers? Well then, Councillor Crosston to close the debate.
Thank you. Just in response to Councillor Telfer, I'm not aware of the pitches at O'Halloran Hill. The pitches at Capella, it's not going to be a full soccer pitch. It won't be able to be used by seniors. We only have one pitch that I'm aware of. I'll be willing to look at others if they're available. This is the only pitch that is used. That's why it's completely overused and worn out. and we're still turning away over 150 players a year because we only have the one pitch.
All those against, please raise your hand. That's carried by a majority. We turn to Councillor Valescu's motion on poker machines.
Thank you, Your Worship. Did you want to check it as a second then?
I will, thank you. You're moving it as is?
Included a fifth point, which I have handed to Tory, and that should be on the board relatively soon.
Right, well, we'll just wait for that to come up in print.
Based on the deputations we received today.
I see. Fair enough. Well, that sort of explains it sometimes, though things do come up at the last minute. That's fair enough. Yes. You could actually leave it as problem gambling. That would raise some eyebrows. Very well. Is there a seconder motion? Councillor Westwood. Councillor Valescu, please proceed.
I think this issue has raised some concerns by our lessees, but it also has raised concerns that the various community representatives have about gambling. I think we need to show that we do recognise that there are problems with gambling, that their pokies are particularly insidious, but we also want to look at the outcome. And the outcome of us looking to close our pokies down, or even, I guess, the way that this has come out, the concern it's created through the RSL, our returned soldiers, and Club Marion, which is managing and improving one of our facilities, is a concern. So I've put this motion forth to minimise some of that concern. So first of all, we do recognise that there's negative impact in the community from these machines. We encourage and support our lessees. So we work with them. We don't, in order to look at alternative sources. We will not compel them, any of our lessees, to remove their current licensed poker machines. And we will provide a report regarding options for possibly voluntary reduction of poker machines, but it needs to be up to those organisations. I've added a fifth point that the report includes through broad consultation, and I think that's important, options available to minimise the harm caused by poker machines. Therefore, we can include some of the options looked at by Senator Xenophon, but also the stuff brought up by the Reverend. And that could be done as harm minimisation throughout the council, not just in our venues. So that's why I looked at this option. I do encourage members to support this because if nothing goes up, there may still be the concern that we don't have a position, and I just want this issue to be put to bed as far as the issues that the clubs are raising, their concerns, their insecurity as to their future, but also to show the community that we are not particular fans of poker machines and problem gambling. So, councillors, I do urge your support on this. But I would like to thank Councillor Hull for bringing this up. I think the way that it came out probably wasn't how he intended it. The concern that was raised wasn't how he intended it. It came out of his genuine concern for people and seeing how they are affected. I guess this is putting it in a way to react to what's happened as opposed to his intentions.
Yes, the only reason that I voted against the previous motion was on this subject was just that it was too scary for the organisations, and that's all. So I definitely agree with the principle that we should... I'd prefer there to be no pokies. I can do without them totally. But, of course, we don't want to frighten everyone into thinking that we're going to take them away or ban them. So I support this motion, of course. Thank you.
One speaking against the motion. Councillor Hull?
I'll certainly speak about the motion. It's been interesting to reflect on where this has been. It started out just to get a report, which shouldn't have been scary because there was no decision It's just a report. And this is a report, but the trouble is this actually has point three in there, which limits that report. The amount of commentary on this has been significant. For example, on Twitter, ex-councillor Looker from Holdfast Bay, no place for pokies on community land. It makes councils complicit in social damage. Councillor John Westwood from the city of West Torrens, this process confirms that community and pokies are not mutually exclusive terms. Are mutually exclusive terms. Not really correct that. There was people in the gallery here tonight that had family members that had been affected by pokies, where their father has gone out and taken loans out, and the kids aren't being fed and all of this sort of stuff. So we are implicit in social damage by having them on community land, on our land. The truth of it is that if I vote against this, it would be not in the best interest of the issue at hand. I accept that. It's a much less emotion than I expected. It's actually calling for a report that has restrictions, a no conversation zone, if you like. In 12 months' time, if you don't mind, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to revisit this to actually see where the report's at and what we've achieved and what's genuinely happening in regards to Marion's contribution to this. Because if this is just an opportunity for a talk fest and a way of throwing a big bucket of water on the issue, then I won't be happy. So October next year, don't be surprised if I came back. Now, just before I close, you know, for some councils that have been involved in family values organisations who actually didn't support my motion, I do wonder. I do wonder, because it's families that are actually affected by this. The statistics that were brought to us by both the deputations, Senator Xenophon and Reverend MacDonald, were quite concerning. And the last point I'd like to make is, if there's $1 million being extracted from these two clubs as profit, consider the Maid of Auckland, the Hallett Cove Tavern, the Warradale Hotel, Morford Arms. How much is coming out of our city in terms of the people that can ill afford it the most? You know, what all we can do is focus on our facilities because they're on our land, and that's what I've confined it to. When I heard Jane Doyle on radio talking about how Marion's going to stop pokies in clubs and pubs, I thought media used too much licence there, and I was very concerned about that.
Fair point. Councillor Appleby.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move an amendment to delete paragraphs 2, 4 and 5. Is that seconded? Two, four and five.
I guess it leaves one and three. Seconded Councillor Kerry, reserving your right to speak. Councillor Appleby, please proceed.
Thank you, Worship. The reason I'm deleting those paragraphs is, firstly, paragraph two, I think that's really patronising towards the clubs to suggest that we've got the answers about how they can raise extra revenue, particularly when we raise most of our funds by force of the law. Point four, I think it's Orwellian to speak of voluntary when the very fact that you've got a motion there and a point with the word voluntary suggests that it's not voluntary at all, because they can voluntarily reduce their pokies at any time they want. So us getting involved really suggests it's not otherwise. And point five is obviously linked in with point four.
Yes, I think probably we're all pretty much on the same general page with this, but it does concern me as to what we have in point three, where we're saying council will not compel any of its lessees to remove their current licensed poker machines. I don't know whether that's actually necessary to put. I think that the fact that we're looking into the matter is one thing, but to actually then say, but we are not going to take any active move against poker machines indefinitely, because this is a forever statement, I think is foolish to put. So, okay, we are preferring to minimise the use of poker machines in our community. I think what we need to do is to remain neutral, not promise anything at all as to whether we will or won't do anything, and then also consider, along the lines of, I can't think of the Reverend's name for a moment, earlier tonight, McDonald, that there are other mediums such as the reduction of numbers of poker machines and the reduction of the denomination of coin that is used per machine. There is more than one variable, as in poker machines or no poker machines. And so that area of debate, I think, is one that we need to delve into. I'm quite surprised, though, that that it was mentioned that a $1 denomination was considered reasonable. I think that's very high, quite frankly. I think probably 20 cents is more like an amount that that controls the issue of whether people actually get into real trouble quickly or not. But I just reiterate the point that was made, that 40% of revenue is from people with gaming addiction. So I wouldn't be making any promises as to what we will or won't do in the light of that. That is a really serious community wellbeing issue. Not that we have power over the state, but I certainly wouldn't be broadcasting that we wouldn't remove poker machines. Not something I would like to say.
I'd like to move an amendment, please. Item 4 only, with the addition of options for voluntary reduction of these poker machines and the impact in our community. So let's look at the some of the social issues that we might be able to assist with. It's just item 4. Yeah, regarding options for possible voluntary reduction of poker machines and the impact they cause, and just leave it as is. Still accepting of the first 3 points, which basically say the same thing.
My ruling is that the amendment is out of order because paragraph 3 is integral to the motion. If you're going to cut that out, it becomes something different. So I think if that was your view, you would just vote against the motion. Any other contributors? You'd like to see the original motion on the screen? Yes, here it is. You've already spoken, Councillor Garth. Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I want to talk to the motion as it is with the 5 points, and particularly want to make a comment about point 3 because people seem to be a bit concerned about that. But I do believe we need to have this grandfather clause in there. I have been working with the RSL and been working, looking at whether we could reduce numbers or what we could do in that environment with the pokies. We've been working on this slowly and we were going through things. Now that this has all happened, they feel their backs are against the wall. To be able to get back to really looking at this and really discussing with them, I think we need to have that grandfather clause in there to help them get confidence back that we're not going to bring an axe down on their head. So at this stage, I'd like to see that in there so as we can help with discussions. The other thing that I just wanted to raise is Friday night I was at the club and I had so many people come up to me and particularly people who have had pokey problems or gambling problems, but they've also had effects from service, their service life, and they've been in depression or they've had very bad mental conditions, and so they have ended up turning to gambling. They have all said to me that if the pokies were taken out of the RSL, they would not have had the protective environment of people being able to rescue them from that situation because of the type of environment that the RSL has and the welfare that they have there. So I must confess I have been starting to rethink and relook at things as a result of what was said to me on Friday night. And that is where the RSL with their welfare side are trying to look at how would they then deal with those problems if those people go to other bigger venues where they are much more hidden and they can't be dealt with under that welfare side. So I think we need to really have open discourse with them, and I really want them to feel that they are safe in talking through all this and that we're not going to bring the axe down on them. Thank you.
Your Worship. Look, I think the amendments that have been made or attempted to be made, they do make sense to me. But what's happened is we've got the Club Marion and the RSL that have basically been jilted by this. And I think we need to be very careful in how we react. I think that when we have issues like this, we actually need to consult the people that are affected to see what will happen. If we want to reduce pokies in our community, and I commend Councillor Hull and everyone else who wants to do it, we need to do it at the national level. It needs to be all done at once. Because what if we start pulling them out in our venues, it's just going to disadvantage our lessees. It needs to be done over time. It needs to be done at a national level, and then we can address those issues. So if councillors want to pursue this issue at a national level, I encourage them to do so, fine, but it needs to be uniform. The other issue is there are some options that we could have as far as, you know, limiting the bets and things like that, but that could be part of that report. And once again, that would be done as voluntary, and it could be done throughout the city. I just want to say that whilst Councillor Appleby thinks that this is patronising, I think the fact is we just need to reassure exactly where we stand. And we stand is that it is totally voluntary. We're looking into these because we've started the ball rolling, but we're not going to compel people to do it. So we may find that the RSL may be in a situation, you know, a few years down the track to reduce their machines or not. Club Marion came along twice with plans to show us what they've done. They are worried. There's people out there that who've been working with us through leases that are worried, and that's why I think we need to make it clear that we are, you know, that we are not compelling them to close, and I think we do need to give that surety, and I hope that we sort of stand our ground on this. Because you know, if people are flagging, we're going to revisit this in 12 months. They may say, well, we may leave in 12 months. Here's your big fancy facility. You can worry about fixing it. We're going to Fresh Choice down the road. We're going to have our machines there. And guess what? You know, we don't have to worry about updating the facilities. But I don't think anyone wants that.
Please raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by a majority. Now, before I close the meeting, there's just a division call. All those in favour, please stand in your place. Those in favour are councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Telfer, Westwood, Byram, Valescu, Gard and Crossland. Just remain standing for a moment, please. Those against are Councillors Pryor, Hull and Appleby. Thank you. You may be seated. So just one issue to bring to your attention, because it's time sensitive before closing the meeting, because obviously to deal with any further business we would need another extension of time. But the fact is that we've got the LGA AGM coming up later this week. Neither myself nor the Deputy Mayor, the current Deputy Mayor, can attend. It's as a minimum, the AGM itself is a Friday morning, so virtually up till lunchtime Friday. There are all sorts of additional bits, but I didn't find them necessary last year, but the AGM is the AGM. Now, I asked Ms. McKenzie about it. She contacted the LGA. It's possible to appoint a voting delegate at this late stage if Council wishes to. So there's a draft motion if we want to bother with it at all, but if you want to take it any further, there would have to be an extension of time. Councillor Velescu. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, all those in favour? Just to deal with this issue. All those against? It's carried by a majority. Never mind the standing orders. Can I have an expression of interest? Councillor Westwood, is there anyone putting his hand up? Ms. McKenzie? No, that's all being reviewed. There's an appropriate motion which is up on the screen at the moment, but instead of Councillor X, we may want to nominate, somebody may not want to nominate Councillor Westwood. Councillor Byram? Okay. We can always have a ballot if we want. We can have a proxy. We could have Councillor Westwood as delegate and Councillor Byram as proxy.
Or, may I just ask? I think there's only room.
Councillor Byram, I can advise that others can go along as observers. It's just only one person can vote. So, since Councillor Westwood put his hand up first, that would be one way of doing it.
Or did you need to vote? Do you want to vote?
Well, I've had two people say they're available, but I haven't had a motion yet. So
you can do it if you want. You want to do it? Yeah, that's right. No, you do it. That's fine. No, we've made an executive decision.
Councillor Velescu is moving. The X is Councillor Byram. And is that seconded? Seconded Councillor Crossland. Any debate? No? Okay. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried. And I declare the meeting closed at 11:10. It's not sustainable. Oh, well, thank you. I do need a holiday after that.
Okay.